Well, you may be wondering where I got the title Feeding the Population of Ballymoney from. But in the 2011 census, the population of Ballymoney was given as 10,402 people. And here in John chapter 6 this morning, as we come to this story of the feeding of the 5,000, the 5,000 is a reference to only the men who were there that day, probably adding in the women and children. There were well over the 10,000 figure that is the population of Ballymoney. And you know the story from your Sunday school days of how Jesus was given five loaves and two fish by a little lad who was there. Jesus gave thanks to God for those gifts of foodstuffs. He then asked the disciples to distribute them, and the 5,000 plus were fed by Jesus Christ that day. And so much so that 12 basketfuls of leftovers were taken up. But what was the meaning of it? This is the only miracle of Christ that appears in all four gospels, so it must be really significant. What's the meaning of it for your life? What's the meaning of it for my life in this 21st century in which we find ourselves living? Well, first of all, it's a reminder to us of the hunger that is at the heart of the human condition. You will have felt this hunger as I have felt this hunger. Of course, there's the physical hunger, and that's obvious that day. And Jesus has compassion on the physical needs of the people, and it's good to reach out to people who are in physical need. But there was also a deeper hunger going on amongst these people. We're told in verse 2, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. There were some people there who were hungering for a miracle. They wanted drama, bells and whistles, as it were, and fireworks, something to talk about over the garden fence. It wasn't really Jesus they were interested in. Jesus was just a means to an end. They wanted phenomena, not teaching or truth. But it did betray an inner hunger in the hearts of some. Then there were others. In verse 15, Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. Here were people hungering for politics, for the defeat of Rome, for the kingdom of God to be established on earth, and for the Jews to be enthroned as kings under their Messiah. And still today, people want Jesus to be a political figure, a political agitator, a social reformer. They want to wrap him in the colours of whatever flag they follow. But then there was another group, and they were hungering after Jesus, as he says himself in verse 26, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Here were people hungering after Jesus for purely mercenary and materialistic reasons. He was good for bread, just as people might see church attendance as good for business, or for respectability, or they hope to avoid hell by it, or they hope to get a little bit of tittle-tattle and to go home and to phone their friends and neighbours and tell them what they've heard. People go to church for different reasons. Let's not make any bones about it. But however, the human heart is indicated through these things as being a hungry heart. It's looking for something. And people have all sorts of noble or ignoble reasons for gathering around Jesus Christ. And yet also, there were those there that day who were hungering for spiritual reasons. God was at work in their lives. God was drawing them, and God was speaking into their hearts. I think of a primary school teacher, and she had within her class a child who had come from a home where the parents were strict atheists. And so when Sunday school, when RE lessons were being delivered, this child had to sit out those RE lessons. And yet that teacher was able to say that that child was the hungriest child in the class to know about God and ask so many questions. You see, the human heart is a hungry heart. It longs to know, is there a God? What is God like? And even though it's fighting against God all the time as well, it is a hungry heart, and it's yearning for something to fill that hunger. And lots of people have that hunger. You, as I've said earlier, have it in your heart. I have had it in my heart. the hunger to know, the hunger to be fed by something that this world cannot satisfy. The second thing we find here today after the hunger is the bread. And it really is quite pitiful in one sense, all that was on offer, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The little lad who supplied the bread that day, I love the thought of that little boy, this great crowd of 5, maybe 10,000 people. He had wormed his way to the front. He wanted to be up close and personal, and his mother no doubt had been thrilled. And it's good to encourage our children if they're encourage them to be around Jesus. And this man, this little boy is given a packed lunch by his mother, and he's gone out and he's wormed his way through the crowd. Maybe he's gone on all fours and crawled through the legs to get to the front. He doesn't want to miss the teaching of Jesus for anything. And he overhears this conversation as Jesus says to the disciples, give them some bread. And the disciples say, but we have no bread. There's not enough money to buy enough bread. And the little boy says, here, I've got 5 small loaves and 2 fish. I love this. You might think you haven't got much to offer, but offer what you can. Offer to God your little, and he will make much of it. And so this bread is taken by Jesus, who gives thanks to God for it. And the disciples then distribute it, and so much is left over that 12 basketfuls are taken up. And those 12 basketfuls are a sign, are they not, of satisfaction. The population of Ballymoney has been fed. Numbers. And this is the power of Christ. This is the creative power of Christ. This is a sign of his divinity. This is a sign of a new Moses who has come into the wilderness, as it were, to feed the people. He has brought bread from heaven, and he has distributed to those who were hungry. So what's this saying to you, and what's this saying to me? Well, didn't he say in verse 51, by way of explanation, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Jesus gave his flesh for the life of the world on the cross. And it's true, when people looked upon the events of the cross, they didn't really see much in it. The Roman governor had washed his hands of the life of Christ. The soldiers toyed cruelly with the life of Christ. The bystanders mocked the life of Christ. The disciples fled from the life of Christ. And yet on that cross, Jesus gave up his life. On that cross, Jesus, as a conscious, deliberate, planned act, gave up his life for the life of the world, to feed the world, to fill the hungry, to satisfy the yearnings of the heart. One old saint has put it like this: Christian faith is faith in Christ crucified. Not faith in his teaching, peerless though that teaching was. Not faith in his example, unequaled though that example was. Not faith in his love, vast as that love is. The hunger of the human heart is met only by faith in Christ crucified for our sins. Forsaking all, I trust him. You know that old definition of faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. There is where satisfaction is to be found. Bishop Ryle, old Bishop Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, puts it like this in one of his books. Let us never doubt for a moment that the preaching of Christ crucified, the old story of his blood and righteousness and substitution, is enough for all the spiritual necessities of all mankind. We are all in a wilderness. We must feed on Christ crucified and the atonement made by his death, or we shall die in our sins. So we've heard about the hunger and we've heard about the bread. Let me move on thirdly to the benefits of coming to him by faith. And let me set out some of them here from the text. Verse 35, for example. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You'll know that if you ever find yourself adrift on an ocean of open sea, that no matter how thirsty you are, and no matter how inviting the water looks, you don't drink the seawater. Because the trouble with drinking seawater is that the more you drink, the thirstier you become. And the more you drink, your body will be poisoned by the salt, and eventually you'll die as a result of drinking that water. And drinking the water of sin is like that. Oh, for a while, there are the pleasures of sin. But though they come, they will go. They only last a season. And the more you drink, the thirstier you become. But here is one who says, him that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In other words, Jesus offers satisfaction in this world and also for the world that is to come. Another benefit is in verse 40. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. When a child gets lost, say, in a shopping centre, there can be many tears and fears. But then comes that moment when the mother arrives to claim the child. I am his and he is mine. The prospect of being lost forever is flagged up here by Jesus Christ. But for those who do trust him, Jesus says on the last day he will come to claim them. He will come to raise them up into everlasting life. I am his and he is mine. He'll take ownership and responsibility of those who live by faith and by faith alone in him. In the here and now, at that time then, he will claim you. And what a prospect that is. So before I get to an end, just to a conclusion today, I want to ask you a question. Have you believed on Jesus Christ in the way I have here described? I'm not asking, do you belong to a church? I'm not asking, have you been baptized and do you take communion? Some people think eating the bread of communion will save you. It won't. It can't. It's only an emblem. And you may eat many things in life. Go into a cafe or a restaurant. And, you know, we long for the day when these things will be open again. And there will be many things on the menu. But really only one foodstuff matters. Jesus said in verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jesus Christ is our meat and drink. Jesus Christ is the one who, through his food, when we eat, it gives us a lift, it gives us energy, it gives us life. When we're hungry, we're lethargic. When we're physically hungry, we're lethargic. We loll around and we say, oh, I feel so hungry. Well, Jesus Christ is the one who meets our spiritual needs. The world, the flesh, and the devil can't meet your spiritual needs. Oh, they'll do so for a time. They're like eating chocolate and candy floss and making that your diet. It'll not be good for you in the long term. And if you make the world, the flesh, and the devil your diet, it'll not be good for you in the short or the long term. They're only the foodstuffs of death. Whereas Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread, he told us to pray. Daily foodstuffs and daily fellowship with him. This is what we live by. That Jesus is our meat and drink. And when we believe on him and commit our lives to him and take him as Lord and as Saviour, we find satisfaction and the hope of eternal life. Let me end by going back to the little boy with his five loaves and two fish. He gave us all, didn't he? He gave us all to Christ. He held nothing back. He just gave it all up. And yet, didn't he receive so much in exchange? Wasn't he part of that crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children? Wasn't he satisfied? It seemed he was giving up a lot, but he actually gave up just nothing in comparison to what he received. And if you give up, you give up your sins, you give up your life to Christ, you will receive 100-fold anything you give up. That's the promise of the gospel. The returns are huge. The rewards are eternal. The satisfaction is lasting. The joy, the feasting are so great. Come to Christ. Make him your bread of life. eat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what a blessing, what a thrill he will be to your soul. May God bless you. Amen.